Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time worshiping with us this morning, we are glad that you have found your way here this beautiful fall morning. Your bulletin has quite a number of announcements, and there you can learn about our worship and fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. If you have a question, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table to receive any questions you might have. A few announcements as we get started this morning. Please note, next week will be our a called congregational meeting for the purpose of reviewing and approving the bylaws and also some other items of information you can see there in your bulletin. This Thursday is also a wonderful opportunity to come together with folks and learn more about rural and migrant ministries. They are having their educational symposium and fundraising dinner. GPC has purchased a table, so if you would like to come to the dinner for free, you are welcome to do so. Please just send me an email, give me a call, let me know, and I can give you more information. We've got a few other announcements this morning.
I'm Buzz Bauman, one of your trustees, and I would like to invite everybody Saturday to the fall cleanup. More hands make it easier, and we'd appreciate your help. Thank you.
Morning. As most of you know, the Jamaica mission trip is coming up in a couple months here, and the senior high needs your help to raise money. As most of you may not know, we are collecting bottles and cans out in the front of the church here, or you can drive them down to Flower City to help fundraise. Just say that the money is going to GPC. And, yeah, thank you.
And I've also heard rumors that they are setting up at another bottle can return place over on Spencerport Road. I'm not sure which one that is yet, so we'll get that in your bulletin. That way we can cover both sides of the church. All right, we are also kicking off this Sunday our stewardship emphasis time together. Our theme this year being fearless generosity. You have received your letters in your mail and also pledge cards, but we know that stewardship is about more than just pledges and money. It really is all about the ways that we come together to acknowledge all of the blessings that God has given us in our lives. And this time of worship, we do just that. And to help us focus on that the purpose of worship is to come and praise God and give thanks for the blessings in our lives, we are going to start the next four Sundays singing a cappella. I know, a little brave here, but it's a tune you know well, the doxology. The words are printed here in your bulletin. I've used some more inclusive language here, but please don't be distracted by that. Sing the words that come to your heart and your mind that you know well as we sing and praise and give thanks to God. All right, because Roy's going to help me. We know how this will end if I start it. All right.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above the heavenly host. Praise God.
please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. We live our days striving to keep the faith. At times, we feel we are running a great race, trying to find God by moving faster and stronger. At other times, life feels more like a battle, a fight to be won in order to be right with our God. Come, people of God, let us slow our running and turn away from the fights.
Let us recognize that right here and right now, our God stands by us, giving us strength, ready to rescue us from our own wandering ways. There is nowhere else we need to go, and nothing we need to achieve.
Come, beloved of God, let us receive the crown of blessing as we worship, giving God thanks and glory.
Come, as we strive to keep the faith, let us very simply worship our loving God.
The stars and Please join me in the litany prayer of confession. Everybody on this side of the organ will be the right, and everybody on this side of the organ will be the left. So pay attention to your parts. All right. Sometimes we are the ones who feel ourselves to be unworthy of God's grace and generosity, and we bow our heads in humility. Yet when we arrive at this place, we too need your forgiveness and compassion, loving one. At times, life seems a dance of not enough and too much. We confess we don't always know where to land. Can we lead, even in our poverty? Can we follow, even in our wealth and abundance? Show us the balance that holds humility and generosity together in one stance. Lead us in a dance of true union and grace. Forgive us our sinfulness, whatever form it may take, and dance with us in new life, we pray. Amen. Our lives are a dance, a whirling rhythm of seeking, finding, brokenness, and healing. Be assured, children of God, that our dance partner, God, knows our steps before we have taken them, holds our spirits in the strong arms of understanding, and leads the way to our wholeness through the forgiveness of eternal love. In this, let us trust in the music and dance on, assured of pardon and at peace in God's grace. Amen.
At this time, the children are welcome to come forward. Good morning, friends. Who are you? You lost something, dude. Oh my goodness, look at that. You have no teeth. You've got a couple. That's good. Hello. Hi. How are you today? Good morning. That makes sense. Good morning, friends. How are you all this morning? Everyone doing okay? I've seen some of you dancing this morning to the music. That's good. And I've also heard some of you singing. And just in case you may not have noticed, because usually you're in Sunday school when we sing this song, I thought it would be really nice for us to start singing it together at the beginning of worship. So I'm going to show it to you. And for some of you who can read, you're going to recognize the words. I put some colors on it to help us see a little better. The song that we started with in worship today has kind of a fancy name. It's called the Doxology. I know, it's Greek. But basically, what it means is, let's sing praise. That's what it means. And so that's what we do. If we look at the words here that I've colored for us, most of the words say the same thing. We start by saying, praise God. We say it again, praise God. We say it one more time. Praise God. And each of the lines tell us something that we praise God for. And so I need you guys to help me, because I think sometimes that songs work even better when we can put hand motions to help us remember. Okay, so can you guys help me? All right, you ready? So when we do sing praise God, can you guys do this? Praise God. So that means that we say, thank you, God. Yay, God is another way. That would be a good way to sing that song, wouldn't it? Yay, God. And the next line, from whom all blessings flow. So praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Blessings are all the really great things in our lives. So I'm seeing some really great things in my life right in front of me. All of you guys, do you guys have some good things going on in life right now that you're excited about? What is that? What are you excited about? Going to the Strong Museum. Yes, that is definitely a blessing. Let's see, what else do we have coming up? Do we have maybe a birthday coming up? I know about one of those in my house. Halloween, is Halloween coming up? Candy, your birthday, we've got birthdays, and what else? Good things. Cool, so we're excited about some costumes, yes. Cool, a night. Wilm, you got something you're excited about? Lunch, yes, I get super excited about lunch. So the blessings are all the great things in our life. So we praise God, show me, praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And the next line, ready? Praise God, praise God. All creatures here below. Can you guys show me? All creatures here below. So this just means everything that's on earth. That means all of us, all the animals, everything on earth, creatures here below. Show me, praise God. Praise God. And above the heavenly, or ye, we're getting fancy here, ye heavenly hosts. That means everything in heaven and everything in heaven. Praise, show me your praise again. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost all around us, all around. All right, do you think we can do it all together? Do you think the congregation would mind singing it one more time for us so that we can do our hand motions? Do you think they would do that for us? Do you think? Yeah, I kind of think so too. So Roy, would you help us get started? Let's sing the doxology one more time, and you guys do the hand motions and sing with me, okay? Ready?
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above the heavenly host.
Ready?
Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Ready?
Amen.
Thank you, congregation. And thank all of you. And I think as we sing this song on Sunday mornings, do you think maybe we could do these hand motions together? Maybe if the congregation's lucky, we'll teach them too. Yes? All right. You guys go and have fun in Sunday school.
First reading this morning is from 2 Timothy chapter 4. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Do your best to come to me soon, for Demas, in love with his present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful in my ministry. I have sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas, also the books, and above all, the parchments. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me great harm. The Lord will pay him back for his deeds. You also must beware of him, for he strongly opposed our message. At my first defense, no one came to my support, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood by me and gave me strength so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil attack and save me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Our second reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One, a Pharisee, and the other, tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves and rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. But all who exalt themselves will be humbled. But all who humble themselves will be exalted. So, I'm not even sure who watched the presidential debate on Wednesday. Because after the last one, I heard more and more people say, I just can't do it anymore. I can't watch it. I turned it off after 10 minutes. Many of you have shared with me that it's even impossible to talk about the election or the important issues facing this nation at work or with friends or with family, that somehow the lack of respect and civility in campaigns and governance today is being amplified in our personal relationships, that the divide between people is so great that people are even distancing themselves further and further from each other. A colleague of mine called after the second debate and asked, Hey, Melissa, how was church attendance today? How's it been since the debates started? I found it to be a strange question. But he went on to tell me something that he and other colleagues have been noticing. That as the vitriolic atmosphere ramps up and we get closer to the election, more and more people are choosing to distance themselves from places and communities where they might encounter people who are different or have different views from themselves, apparently including the church. So how did we get here? How did we get to become so absolute and so angry, so unable to acknowledge the value of others? I believe these questions are about more than just this election cycle. There have been ongoing divisions bubbling up more and more. There have been heightened racial tensions, generational differences, the differences in gender and sexuality, people who speak languages other than English or practice religions other than Christianity, and of course the divisions that are economic between the rich, the poor, the so-called middle class. How did we get to become so divided? So it's from this place, with these questions, that we begin our conversation this morning from the Gospel of Luke. If you remember this story from when you were in vacation Bible school or Sunday school, you know these two characters. In fact, if you read the Bible, especially Luke's Gospel, these two characters show up time and time again. The Pharisee, that self-righteous religious hypocrite. They're vilified as rule-bound and closed-minded, and they miss the mark when it comes to the teachings that Jesus brings about the kingdom of God. And then the tax collector, portrayed as a sinner of the worst kind, being in collusion with the empire to financially exploit their own people through theft and corruption. From the Gospels, we also remember, though, the complicated nature of this character, because the tax collectors are some of the first to join the crowds to become baptized, to join Jesus at table and to hear his teachings. Sinners of the worst kind, self-righteous hypocrites. Maybe this parable is starting to sound an awful lot like our election. But if you were taught, as I was taught, about this story, the tax collector is the hero, right? He is humble. He is unlike the Pharisee. He didn't brag about all the good things he had done. And my Sunday school teacher would have had us pray like I do with the children, those short little phrases that would be repeated. Dear God, thank you. I am humble, not like the other people. Amen. And we find comfort in a parable with such clear meaning for us. I mean, notice right there, tacked on the end, most parables don't have this, that explanation. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and all who humble themselves will be exalted. Oh. The danger of taking on this parable just at this surface level. We find ourselves praying, like Sunday school teacher, looking for that excuse to distance ourselves from the other. So Presbyterian pastor and biblical storyteller Casey Fitzgerald reminds us that Jesus uses storytelling to communicate truth, and that often prophetic act of storytelling points us to deeper truths about God and humanity and hints at what those might be. It invites us to find ourselves within this narrative and provokes us, if we let it, to transcend our own narratives, our own stories, so that we might join God's larger work, join the narrative of the kingdom come, and unveil the kingdom that has drawn near. Some of us will be comforted by these tales, but more often than not, their aim is not to comfort, but to provoke, to invite. So when Jesus tells this story to his disciples, his aim is not to school them on temple etiquette nor to build a case against the Pharisee, but to hold up that mirror. Jesus wants to show them and us the real divide. The divide between the world that is and the world that God intends for us. Oh, friends, we know the division is deep. So here's where I'm going to invite you to pay attention to the details in this story. Notice the way that Jesus mentions the two men are going up to the temple to pray. They are both devout Jews. They are of the same faith. They worship the same God. But the Pharisee does not stand near the tax collector, or anyone else for that matter. Standing by himself, he distances himself from everyone in the temple as he prays. God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, the thieves, the rogues, the adulterers, even the tax collector. I fast, I give a tenth of my income. The Pharisee is truthful in his prayer. He's been trained to live a life focused on God and good works. So is he not entitled to separate himself from those who do not choose to live as he does? Meanwhile, far away from the Pharisee, far away from the inner temple where everyone has gathered to worship, there in the distance, the tax collector beats his chest and hangs his head in shame and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And his prayer, too, is honest. He gives voice to how much he has done to separate himself from his people by oppressing them. And he also feels this distance separates him from God. After all, the temple was believed to be the place where God dwelled, and he stands far away from the temple and the people. Because of his choices, does he not deserve to be separated from God and the people who have earned God's mercy? What occurs to me in hearing this parable again is that both of these men choose to reinforce the distance and the division that they have in their lives. The Pharisee puts the distance between himself and anyone not like him, the tax collector. And the tax collector, it's not only the distance he puts between himself and the people, but also that distance he puts between himself and God. And Henry Nouwen warns us that one of the greatest dangers in the spiritual life is self-rejection. And we say, if people really knew me, they wouldn't love me. We choose the road towards separating ourselves from ourselves. And often we are made to believe that self-deprecation is a virtue called humility. We have no indication that either of these men leave the temple, go home, or wherever they're going to go, and change their pattern of behavior. We have no idea. It's not a change in behavior that Jesus lauds in this parable. The sin of the Pharisee is not necessarily just the thanksgiving, the bragging about himself, but it's that distance that he puts between himself and the tax collector. The Pharisee prayed standing there by himself. He prayed about himself, thanking God he was not like anyone else. It's clear that even if this was the time for corporate prayer, the Pharisee had not come to pray with his brothers and sisters in faith. He saw no connection between himself and anyone else, or at least not some of them, the social outcasts. Humility, on the other hand, is the opposite of rejecting others or rejecting ourselves. Humility is the grateful recognition that we are all precious in God's eyes. Humility is the way that we draw close to one another, seeing ourselves and, more importantly, seeing how God sees us and everyone else. Our stewardship theme this year is fearless generosity. And I love that humility is our first focus, because fearless generosity is about first and foremost drawing close to God, who first closes the distance between God's self and creation. And through the life of Jesus Christ, Jesus taught us over and over and over again that we are called to draw near to God and and to one another. And more it feels like an impossible task to do. When people are yelling at each other, demonizing each other, the distance grows. We're blaming our politicians, which is fair, but perhaps a bit too convenient. The parable this morning invites us, no matter how uncomfortable it makes us, to examine what does it look like for people of faith to practice fearless generosity through humility. What does that look like? Give a tenth of your income like the Pharisees? Well, that would bridge the gap in the church budget, but still is not going to solve the differences that are separating us in our families and in our friends, in our communities and in our nation. Fearless generosity through humility invites us to draw close to God and to one another, especially with those we are tempted to put further distance between. So I'm not suggesting either that you need to obsess about the election, constantly check news cycles, or read every Facebook post. I get it, we're done. We want it to be over with, so go vote. But on November 9th, the sun will rise. We'll get our kids or our grandkids ready for school. We'll go to work or the Y or out for coffee. And the work of overcoming the distance in our relationships and community will still be before us. All of us. So as we go into the upcoming days and weeks, what will it look like for you and for our community at Gates Presbyterian Church? How will we practice fearless generosity through humility and draw closer to one another? I believe God isn't going to leave us alone about this. God's going to keep coming back to us through the pages of Scripture, the teachings of Jesus, and invite us to do the exact opposite of what we are noticing happening in our nation. Because this is who God is. And this is who God is calling us to be. May it be so for you, for me, for our nation and world.
Thank you.
with all the blessings that flow, the joy that indeed we give thanks to God for, we also bring the burdens, the suffering and concern. And we bring that in a time of prayer. If you would like to share a prayer of joy or concern aloud, you can raise your hand and the usher will bring the microphone. Please introduce yourself. Let us know who you are and share your brief concern or prayer of joy that we may pray together. Any this morning? Okay. There we go.
I'm Cam Mossgraver, and I would like to offer prayers for my brother, who very surprisingly this weekend just had a triple bypass surgery. And he said they finally kicked him out of the hospital into rehab. So he's doing well, though. And continued prayers for my brother.
Continued prayers, Cam, for your brother. We have prayers from our children this morning. Prayers of joy for grandparents visiting from Michigan. Prayers for a sister's birthday tomorrow. Prayers of joy for an uncle coming from the Adirondacks. The joy of Harry Potter Festival in Ithaca. Yeah, that's a good joy. Joys for spending the night with grandmas, for birthdays, going to the Strong Museum. And God, we also lift in prayer prayers from our congregation, the ones that are printed in your bulletin, for Norma Polizzi, who recently had a stroke, Marge Westfall, as she is moving from one location to another, still there at Unity. And we also pray for Anna Burley, who was recently married this summer and moved to Kentucky, but her husband died suddenly of a heart attack. And so we pray for Anna in her time in Kentucky as she discerns her next steps forward. Let us pray. O Holy One, so many voices trumpet their greatness, so many images boast of their beauty and flaunt power and squander wealth, and too many do so in your name, Jesus. And here we are in a world which is daily broken by foolish arrogance. God, we pray for the healing of humility to flood every corner of your world, where there is exploitation and God-imaged people are dehumanized, wherever there is neglect, disdain, and the sacred value of creatures and earth are denied, where there is violence. God, we ask that your grace and your love break through. God, we are reminded that your love and grace break through us, our actions, the ways in which we treat ourselves and one another. Help us in all those small ways to care for those who are grieving, to love those who sometimes we might think are unlovable. Open our hearts to your humility, God, and strengthen us on this journey. We ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we joyfully receive the offering this morning, I just want to call your attention to our song of response is different. We've sung the doxology twice. We're changing it up a bit. It is in the hymnal if you want to take a look at the music before we sing together. Got a good amount of time to do it. Receive the morning offering.
Let us pray. Dear God, you are so generous with us, giving us life, salvation, and love. Please know that we are grateful and love you too. These gifts we give are our way of showing our gratitude. Use them to build your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Blessing than that, friends. We go from this place filled with the love of God, the Spirit that is always with us, Christ who teaches us over and over again the ways in which we are called to draw nearer to God and to one another. So go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to do it again. Alleluia. Amen.